News Talk 94.9 WSJM. You're listening to Our Take. I'm the host today. My name is Andrew Green. Thanks for being with us. This is the show where we discuss issues playing out in the news around Michigan's great Southwest. We talk about events happening here in your community. And we also chat about state news sometimes, as well as national news when applicable. And this is the Monday edition of Our Take. So we're coming off of a weekend here. Pretty good weekend in Southwest Michigan. They had the Concours d'Elegance, the car show over there in St. Joe along the Bluff. The South Haven Blueberry Festival continued throughout the weekend. There was also the Alzheimer's Walk. So plenty to do around here. I certainly hope you had a great weekend. I spent my weekend, well, on the road and also on the east side of the state. I was visiting family for the weekend. Specifically because my niece had a birthday party. She turned two. Little Ainsley turned two. So I got to go and visit my sister and her husband and their little two-year-old who is full of life. So I spent most of the weekend on the road, though. It's a good 4 hours to reach my mother's house from here. And so I get there on Saturday. Saturday afternoon, I arrive at Mom's. It takes a few hours before I start to settle in. Then I get online and I see, oh, riots in Virginia. Some kind of white supremacist rally in Virginia. These guys with tiki torches that they must have picked up at a Home Depot somewhere, staging some kind of white supremacist march. Needless to say, it's only natural. Counter protests broke out. Someone was killed when a car plowed into the crowd of counter-protesters. Bail was denied to that individual today. So not the best weekend around the country and other places around these United States. There were some very sordid things going on. But here in Southwest Michigan, everything was fine for the most part. And so we're back into Monday. We're doing this again, another work week. And plenty coming up on today's show. Lots to discuss. First of all, we'll talk about infrastructure, specifically in the city of St. Joseph. St. Joe city leaders are planning to start discussing the issue of long-term infrastructure needs with residents at a series of meetings. They've actually held a couple of them already, but there's another one coming up later this month. St. Joe city leaders have taken a look at the city's infrastructure needs. I'm talking about roads, I'm talking about sewers, I'm talking about the water system. They've looked at all this stuff, and they've conducted about a 20-year analysis looking into the future for all the things they're going to need to repair or to replace. And it's going to cost quite a lot looking ahead for 20 years. So city leaders in St. Joe want to discuss that with residents. And I've had a conversation with the city engineer for St. Joe, Tim Z. Bell. He's the guy who knows all about the specifics of all this work that's needed. And we'll hear that conversation coming up on today's show. Learn a bit about what they're talking about in St. Joe when they say they have expensive infrastructure needs on the horizon. And what they want to do in terms of networking, of discussing with residents what the city of St. Joe will need in the foreseeable future. Also today, we'll catch up with the Van Buren Conservation District. They are offering a water testing program to residents, specifically those who have well water. Conservation District up in Van Buren County, testing the water samples for people. We'll hear all about that coming up in the segment after the St. Joe segment. And then finally today, we'll take a look at the Berrien County Youth Fair, which started today. Now, the fair really gets underway. It really gets full swing after about 6 p.m. today when they open up the carnival. If you're interested in going on rides and having all the fair food, getting the carnival experience, you'll want to head down after 6 p.m. today. But then for the rest of the week, Berrien County Youth Fair going on in Berrien Springs. Lots to do, plenty scheduled for the grandstand, a whole lot of fair food you can get, plenty of rides to go on. There's the kids, the 4-H kids showing off their animals. That's that actually kind of started yesterday. So the Berrien County Youth Fair now underway, and we'll check with the fair director, Karen Klug, and she'll tell us a bit about the things going on this week. I know I'll be heading down there at least once this week, probably more than once. And we'll have updates from the fair director as the week goes on a couple of times. I've arranged to chat with her a few times about the things happening all this week at the Berrien County Youth Fair. News Talk 94.9 WSJM. You're listening to Our Take, the Monday edition. And I certainly hope you had a great weekend. If you would like to weigh in on something that we discuss on today's show, send us an email. The email address is ourtake@wsjm.com. That's O-U-R-T-A-K-E at wsjm.com. If you have a suggestion for a topic we could discuss, well, send us an email at that address. We'd be interested in hearing your thoughts. We're open to suggestions. And coming up in the segment ahead, we will chat about infrastructure needs in the city of St. Joe with the city engineer, Tim Z. Bell. We're going to take a quick break right now, though. Stick around. We'll be right back, and we'll talk infrastructure and what you, if you're a resident of St. Joseph, need to know. This is Our Take. We'll be right back. News Talk 94.9 WSJM. You are listening to Our Take. I'm the host today. Glad to be with you. My name is Andrew Green. Thanks for tuning in. Monday edition of Our Take, coming off of a busy weekend around here. Plenty of events took place this past weekend in Southwest Michigan. As mentioned, though, I was out of town for the weekend. I missed out on it. And a lot's happening nationally. Not the best weekend around the country the last few days. But here we are. It's a fresh week. It's a fresh start. And I thought we would start off this edition of Our Take by talking about something that everyone considers exciting, and that's infrastructure. We're talking roads. We're talking bridges. We're talking sewers. We're talking the water system, things like that. In the city of St. Joseph, they have identified a need, a long-term need, for some infrastructure work. They are looking about 20 years into the future, trying to anticipate all the things they'll need. And there's been a couple of meetings on this subject held at City Hall. I've been to one or two of them. They'll have all these charts set up telling you all the streets that need to be repaired and all that. There's some projects that are bigger than others. But anyway, the city is projected in the next 20 years to need roughly $90 million worth of infrastructure work. That's total over the next 20 years. So it's a few million dollars a year. So they're thinking about their options for how they might get this money together. There's a few different options, but city leaders want to hear from the public. So they've planned a meeting for August 22nd. It'll be at City Hall. It's actually more like an open house sort of affair where city officials will be on hand to answer questions. And I have chatted about the general infrastructure needs here of the city of St. Joe with the city engineer. His name is Tim Z. Bell. He knows all about this stuff. So let's hear that conversation now. All right, Tim. So first of all, there's a meeting set for August 22nd. Tell us a little bit more about that gathering.
Well, on August 22nd, we're going to kind of, it's the third of the three public meetings that we've had related to the SAW grant, which stands for Stormwater Asset Management and Wastewater. And we've been focusing on the asset management portion of that grant to essentially come up with a plan, a long-term plan on how to manage our infrastructure. At the meeting, the upcoming meeting, the focus is going to be on the capital improvement plan that we put together and basically how to go about funding it.
Okay, and so in a broad sense, what sort of infrastructure needs are we looking at in St. Joe?
Maybe I should jump back a little bit on the SAW grant. Okay. It focused on wastewater and stormwater, so things related to like sanitary sewers and sanitary lift stations and drainage systems, stormwater collection systems, those sorts of things were grant eligible. The city chose to take a more holistic, comprehensive approach in the project or in the plan, and we're looking at essentially all of our infrastructure in the right-of-way. So, you know, we're looking at roadway needs, we're looking at water main needs, sanitary sewer needs, and stormwater / drainage needs. So that's the focus of this.
Okay. Can you describe the SAW grant a little bit more to us? Is this a state or a federal grant?
The SAW grant is a state grant. I think our state legislators did a really nice job of identifying something where we really had a need. And so essentially they took some money. There was a program called an S2 program that was kind of underutilized, and they put that money into the SAW grant. And so the purpose of that was, again, for communities to take a look at a longer-term, more cost-effective way of managing infrastructure. Mm-hmm. And the city's SAW grant, well, the total is about $1 million. It's just under $1 million of grant funds that we're going to be using. And our match is about 10% of that amount.
Is that per year?
No, it's a three-year process. And it's kind of like working on a term paper because we first of all had to go out and locate all of our infrastructure. So you do an inventory of your infrastructure. You go out and locate your sanitary manholes and storm manholes and water valves and all that sort of thing. And then you look at assessing the condition of those because it's basically condition is part of how you evaluate the prioritization of projects. Because you look at condition of asset and the consequence of failure of that asset in order to prioritize the criticality, and that's how we set our prioritization of the projects.
Okay, so to meet the terms of the SAW grant, you have to plan ahead and prioritize long-term.
Yes, definitely. Again, I think the crux behind this is we want to be good stewards of taxpayer and ratepayer dollars, and we want to manage that in the most effective way possible. And this asset management is going to help us do that.
All right. We're speaking to St. Joe City Engineer Tim Zebell. He was just telling me the city has conducted a long-term assessment of the infrastructure needs that, the city will face in the next 20 years or so, partly to meet the terms of the important state SAW grant. So now they're looking at these long-term needs 20 years into the future. So, Tim, August 22nd, now this is going to be a sort of a more like an open house sort of meeting, correct?
It'll be a similar format to what we did at the first two public meetings. We'll have a lot of information out, a lot of foam core boards with information about how we prioritize the projects, the capital improvement plan with that, essentially a 20-year plan. And then near the beginning, we'll probably do a short presentation just kind of covering the purpose of the SAW grant, where we are now, and then also where we're looking at or what we're looking at in the way of rate adjustments, basically some increases to sewer and water rates as well as millage to address the road issues. The roads are funded through general tax dollars, so we would need some sort of millage in order to increase the pace of our road improvement projects.
Okay, so the possibility of a millage is on the table. I know city commissioners have talked about a possibly the 2 mil millage that they could seek. And so that'll be discussed now at the August 22nd meeting when you talk about all this. I assume you'll be on hand to answer people's questions. And which other city officials will be there?
The Public Works Director, Tom McDonald, will be there. I suspect that most, if not all, the city commissioners will be there and that the city manager will be there and possibly a few other folks.
All right, that was St. Joe City Engineer Tim Zebell chatting with me a little bit about this meeting that's coming up where the city is going to talk about its infrastructure needs. They need to meet the terms of a state grant, and so in order to meet those terms, they had to plan out about 20 years, taking a look at mostly just sewers and water system requirements. But they also decided to take a look at roads because a lot of these sewer lines and water lines are underneath the road, so they've taken a holistic look at infrastructure in the city of St. Joseph, come up with a plan. It looks about 20 years into the future. They may need to ask voters possibly to approve some kind of a millage to cover that or maybe a bond. They'll talk about it. They have multiple options. Nothing is set in stone. But August 22nd, 6 p.m., right there at City Hall. The 22nd, is that next week? It is. It's next Tuesday. So there you go. Mark your calendar. News Talk 94.9 WSJM. You are listening to Our Take, the show where we discuss issues playing out in the news around Michigan's great Southwest. Now, coming up on today's show, next segment, we'll hear about some water testing they're offering in Van Buren County. If you have well water, if you have a well and you live in Van Buren County, this is your chance to get it tested to make sure it's safe. It will be free. Also, if you know someone in Van Buren County who gets well water, there you go. Let them know about this. We'll find out about that program next segment. And then finally on today's show, we'll talk about the Berrien County Youth Fair because that is now underway. We've all been waiting. We've been waiting all summer for the Berrien County Youth Fair to get underway. And lo and behold, here it is. It started today. It'll really get underway about 6 p.m. when the carnival opens up. I don't know about you, but I prefer the carnival aspect of any fair. But there's plenty of other things to do. Lots of animals on display. Plenty on the grandstand, performances. We'll find out about those final segment of today's show. And while I'm at it, I might as well advise you of a traffic shift that's currently in effect as a result of the Berrien County Youth Fair. Word came last week. Berrien Springs Orinoco Township Police sent us a notice. They're saying the speed limit is now lower on part of M-139 near Berrien Springs because of the youth fair. Traffic, they want to make traffic safer while the youth fair is underway. So the limit, the speed limit's been reduced from 45 to 35 miles an hour on M-139 between Lemon Creek Road and George Street. So that's sort of within the vicinity of the fair. Slow down. The speed limit on M-139 near Berrien Springs has been reduced to 35 miles an hour. And that took effect today. It will remain in effect through Saturday. And police have put signs up and all that to make sure everyone knows. But be advised, if you're driving down near the youth fair, and I think most of us will be, they anticipate more than 100,000 people to come out this week. So if you go down to the youth fair, be aware. M-139, they've reduced the speed limit within the vicinity to make things safer. News Talk 94.9 WSJM, you're listening to Our Take. We're going to take a quick break right now. And when we come back, we'll find out about the well water testing that's being offered up in Van Buren County, courtesy of the Conservation District. If you'd like to weigh in on something that we discuss, send us an email. The address is ourtake@wsjm.com. That's O-U-R-T-A-K-E at wsjm.com. Stick around. We will be right back. News Talk 94.9 WSJM. You're listening to Our Take. I am the host today. My name is Andrew Green. I'm glad to be with you. Thanks for tuning in. On this show, we discuss things playing out in the news around Michigan's great Southwest. Here in your community, we talk about events that are planned. As mentioned, the Berrien County Youth Fair got started today. We'll hear about that next segment. We've talked about it a couple of times, and we'll talk about it a couple of times more. Right now, I wanted to tell you about a grant that Berrien County has received. Berrien County has received a state grant of $102,000. The purpose of this grant is to eliminate blight. What does that mean? It means that the county has received $102,000 to tear down abandoned buildings, usually houses, in certain areas of the county where abandoned buildings are more of a problem than they are in other places. And I've chatted with Berrien County Treasurer Brett Witkowski about this. He was telling me, so the fund was awarded through the Michigan State Housing Development Authority. It goes to the Berrien County Land Bank Authority, and it sort of falls on Witkowski and his staff, who he told me are very hardworking, and he appreciates their efforts. He said that they have a lot of work to do, and that includes arranging for and planning demolitions. They have to do these on a fairly regular basis, and demolitions can actually be expensive. Now, we all know about the Mercy Hospital demolition this year. That was more than $1 million that came out of the county's foreclosure fund. So our county treasurer, Brett Witkowski, told me, you know, most of this work is usually paid for with the foreclosure fund, so grants like this $102,000 from the state help.
You know, our foreclosure fund does not make money from the standpoint that it moves to the general fund. It is used. Any proceeds that we get above and beyond at the minimum bids at the auctions we use for blight, but this does help clean up blight in the three targeted areas, City Buchanan, Benton Harbor City, and Benton Township.
So a new state grant coming to Berrien County. It's $102,000. It helps cover. It'll actually pay specifically for 25 demolitions around Buchanan, Benton Harbor, Benton Township. Those are the areas they're focusing on. So that's that state grant going to the Berrien County Land Bank Authority. The county needs to sort of build back up its foreclosure fund after the expensive Mercy Hospital demolition this past year. I also spoke to Brett about Mercy Hospital a little bit. It will be going up for auction this year. They're seeking a minimum bid on this. It's not like those properties where you can bid $50. No, no, no. They're seeking high bids, and that's really what the county is hoping to do is find some sort of commercial developer who will buy the Mercy property and then put something there. I think a great use for it would be a grocery store, a supermarket right there on that property along Pipestone. That would be perfect. Perfect use for it. But anyway, hopefully we'll see the Mercy property sell, and the county now has more money to tear down abandoned buildings, and we'll hear about that later on. I think next week there will be more to say about that. Right now, I wanted to chat with the Van Buren Conservation District, okay? They're a great program up in Van Buren County. They do a lot of sort of environmental testing, and they help people recycle hazardous materials, things like that. And starting today, in Van Buren County, they are offering well water testing. They're testing for nitrates. And they will take samples from 8 in the a.m. starting today through 4:30 p.m. So it's probably a little too late now to drop something off. But anyway, they're doing this all the way through Friday, the 18th. So if you know someone, or if you live in Van Buren County and you have well water, this is your chance to get it tested, and it's free. And so I've chatted with the Van Buren Conservation District's Kyle Mead about this program. Let's hear that conversation now. All right, Kyle, so the Van Buren Conservation District will be screening people's well water for nitrates. Tell us more about this screening.
It's a pretty simple screening. I wouldn't say it's as accurate as a test at a real water lab, a drinking water lab, but it'll give you an idea of if you have nitrates or nitrites in your drinking water or not, and we'll accept any container. I've had people bring them in Coca-Cola cups before that they had rinsed out, or baby food jars or whatever. I really don't need a whole lot of water to sample. So
if you want to do this, where do you go?
1035 East Michigan Avenue in Pawpaw, and you just come right into the Conservation District office next door to where the Secretary of State's old location is, across from Ace Hardware.
All right, and how long does it take to get the results after you have your water tested there?
Yeah, so the Department of Agriculture will send results, official results, in I think like 2 to 3 weeks. But they can stick around and watch me do the test, and it's actually only like a 60-second test. So I can give them an idea of what it says, and then they'll get official results back from the Department of Agriculture in a little while later.
Okay, so why would you want to screen for nitrates?
So nitrates and then bacteria are the most common contaminations for drinking water. So this is just a good way to know if your drinking water is safe to drink. There's no odor associated with nitrates and nitrites. There's no color, smell, odor, taste, or anything. So it's kind of hard to detect. So we suggest people do it at least every 3 years. And then this test just kind of gets people talking about it and thinking about it, and get some screens. So if there is some levels of it, we can say, okay, well, here's a real lab to go get it tested and get a true good result. Or, you know, if it says zero, then we're confident it's zero and you're okay.
Great. And have you done this before?
Oh, yeah. We've been doing this as through the MEAT program, the Michigan Ag Environmental Assurance Program, for several years. I've been at the Conservation District since 2004, so we've definitely been doing this for a while.
How many people usually show up? You get a good turnout?
Oh, yeah. We've tried it at different events before and had, you know, mediocre turnout, but now that we've started offering it at the office for a week long, letting people kind of learn about it, tell their friends about it, we've gotten pretty good feedback. I think last year we had over 120 people participate, or 120 wells anyways, so pretty good turn back about it.
All right, I'm talking to the Van Buren Conservation District. They are doing free water tests for people, and specifically they are checking well water, correct?
Correct, yep. So non-municipal water through a source that's untreated, so no water softeners, no water heaters, no reverse osmosis. The best place to sample from is an outside spigot. We ask them to run it for about 20 minutes to get a fresh sample from the well. And so what I usually have folks do is go ahead and hook the hose up, water their garden, you know, water it for 20 minutes or so. So since it's been dry, it's not usually too much of a task to ask them to do. And then disconnect the hose or turn it off, disconnect the hose, and take the sample right from the faucet itself. And that usually gives them a pretty good test.
All right, Kyle, is there anything else you want to add?
I just wanted to throw in that it's this specific screening time is for Van Buren County residents only, but all conservation districts throughout the state should be doing a test throughout the year. So if, you know, folks from Kalamazoo County or wherever are hearing this, they want to get theirs tested, then they can do so at their Kalamazoo Conservation District office as well.
All right. That was Kyle Mead with the Van Buren Conservation District. They are doing free water testing for people this week. It started today. It runs through Friday. And it's for well water. You're asked to run your hose, your outside hose, for a good 15, 20 minutes or so. And then you can really just put the water in whatever container you want. They don't even need a very big sample. And if you're on a well up in Van Buren County, you collect a little bit of water and then you take it over to the Conservation District office in Paw Paw. And you can actually stand right there and just wait while Kyle tests the water for you. They're looking for nitrates, which are difficult to detect. So there you go. And these tests offered 8 a.m. to 4:30 p.m. starting today, running through Friday. So take your water in and get it tested for free up in Van Buren County. Why don't you? News Talk 94.9 WSJM. This is Our Take, Monday edition of the show. I thank you for being with us. My name is Andrew Green. Glad to be here as the host today. If you would like to weigh in on something that we discussed, if you have a thought on something, or if you want to suggest a topic, send us an email. The address is ourtake@wsjm.com. That's O-U-R-T-A-K-E @wsjm.com. We're interested in hearing your thoughts here on Our Take. Now, this is not a democracy, but we're still interested in your thoughts. So if you have a suggestion for a topic or something you'd like to weigh in on, let us know. We'll be interested. Perhaps we'll incorporate your comments into the show. A little advisory here for you as we wrap up this segment. Next segment, of course, we'll talk about the Berrien County Youth Fair. But right now, just really quick, I wanted to mention the U.S. Coast Guard here in Michigan. They have obtained a new helicopter. The Coast Guard station up in Traverse City, they're saying out with the old and in with the new. They got rid of their old MH-65 Dolphin helicopter today. Its last flight was this afternoon, and then today they got a brand new MH-60. And Lieutenant Ted Borney with the Coast Guard says they're going to use this new helicopter from here on out.
Some of the advantages over the MH-65, we've got a little bit longer range and endurance, so we can fly farther and get to targets quicker without having to refuel to save some time. And in addition, we've got anti-icing and de-icing equipment on board, which can help, especially in the winter months when things get a little bit cooler here.
So the Coast Guard up in Traverse City has replaced one of their helicopters. The old MH-65 Dolphin is what they previously used, and Lieutenant Borney here tells us they'd had it since 1995.
In that period of time, they've flown more than 63,000 hours with 11,861 hours in support, directly in support of search and rescue missions. Over their service in the Great Lakes, they've responded to nearly 4,600 distress calls, saved 208 lives, assisted 365 other lives.
Wow, so the U.S. Coast Guard, that helicopter was well used, and they've got this new one now, and who knows, you may see it down here. Truth told, you really don't want to see it down here, but they've got the equipment. It could potentially be brought all over the coast of Lake Michigan. So that's what's happening with the Coast Guard. News Talk 94.9 WSJM, it's time for another break. You are listening to Our Take. As promised, next segment, final segment of today's show, we will find out about the Berrien County Youth Fair, which got started today in Berrien Springs. Stick around, we will be right back. News Talk 94.9 WSJM. You are listening to Our Take. I am the host today. My name is Andrew Green. I'm glad to be with you. Thanks for tuning in. On this show, we talk about issues playing out in the news around Michigan's Great Southwest. We talk about things that affect you and your community. Earlier today, first segment of the show, we heard from the city engineer of St. Joseph about infrastructure needs. They're planning a meeting at City Hall on the 22nd so folks can learn more about this. They've held a couple of these meetings already. I've been to at least one of them where they sort of lay out what the 20-year forecast for the city looks like. And they're talking about sewers, they're talking about streets, they're talking about the water system. So they're going to hold this meeting on the 22nd to chat with the residents a little more and see what folks think about that. Also on today's show, we heard about some well water testing being offered this week in Van Buren County. If you live in Van Buren County, go to the Conservation District with a sample of your well water taken from preferably an outside hose, and they will test it and make sure that it is healthy. This segment, as promised, we're going to chat about the Berrien County Youth Fair. It got started today. 6 p.m. tonight is when they'll open up the carnival, and then for the rest of the week, it's all systems go. Lots happening in Berrien Springs this week. So I had a conversation with the fair director, Karen Klug, about some of the things going on this week, and we'll chat with her again as the week goes on to get some updates on the fair. But I have chatted with the fair director, Karen Klug. Let's hear that conversation now. All right, Karen. So Berrien County Youth Fair now getting started. I guess to begin, looking at today, Monday, what's happening at the fairgrounds today?
The carnival typically opens by 6 p.m. on Monday. Sometimes they're ready to open a little bit earlier, but 6 is the official time for Monday.
Mm-hmm.
After that, they're open at 11 each day.
Okay, so today the carnival's going to open up and all that. And tell us what's planned for tonight.
In the grandstand is the Super Farm Tractor, two-wheel drive, four-wheel drive trucks, and a Super Stock combo class of tractors. So it's the tractor and truck bull, the one that you can hear, I'm sure, from miles around as they scream down through the grandstand.
Tuesday, what do we got?
Tuesday is Kids Day. So Kids Day is where children through high school age get in free. We have three free shows in the grandstand of Circus Continental. And, throughout the day, there's lots of judging and other kind of events going on in the different areas. So, and on the mall stage, there's different performers all week long. So if somebody wonders when somebody's going to be on stage in the mall, they just need to grab a brochure. And the brochure has all those listed.
All right. Where do you get those brochures?
Brochures are throughout Berrien County. Jill spent days taking them to all the towns. So you should be able to grab one there, or you can go out to our website, which is www.bcyf.org, and there you can download it and print it out.
Okay, so bcyf.org is the website. Karen, I'm just curious, what events do you like the most about the youth fair?
I think the thing I like the best about the fair is that it's chance for the kids to show off what they've been working on and doing all year long. Just the exhibition of all of their exhibits, which will probably be well over 10,000 from over 2,000 kids here in Berrien County between the ages of 5 and 20. And then it's just probably the one time out of the year when people get to connect with folks they saw last year at the fair. And so I think that's probably my favorite thing, is just to see all the people and all the exhibitors and their exhibits.
All right. And what sort of events are usually the most popular?
Well, the carnival rides are always popular. The shows in the grandstand are always popular. There's some people that just love to come out and see the big tractors. So it's just whatever you like, And, of course, who can go throughout the week without a corn dog or other elephant ear or other fair food? That's sometimes the one time during the year when you get to indulge a little bit in all those sweets and fried foods that, you're probably not supposed to eat all year round, so.
It's okay in fair week, though.
Absolutely.
Right. I love the fair food in general. I specifically like the barbecue stuff. I hope some of those barbecue vendors will be out there.
I'm pretty sure that Lark's is going to be here again this year, and the steak tips are going to be here this year, and the people with the hamburgers and the Mexican, all the whole wide range of food.
Indeed, there's as much food to be consumed at the Berrien County Youth Fair this week. There's plenty of rides to enjoy. The kids are showing off their animals. There's plenty on the grandstand. I've got a list right here. I'm looking at a schedule. Now, the website for you to find out all the information you need is bcyf.org. To find out, first of all, a day pass for an adult is $7. For children 5 to 12, it's $4. As noted, though, tomorrow is Kids Day, so children get in free tomorrow. So bear that in mind. If you've got a whole carload of kiddies to bring over to the Berrien County Youth Fair, you may want to go tomorrow. And if you want to see the full fair schedule, once again, that's bcyf.org. There are so many things to look at here. I couldn't possibly begin to read you the whole schedule, but I know that the grandstand performances this year will include the motocross. There'll be a demolition derby, which is always a lot of fun. There's live music. There's talent shows. There's so much to do this week at the Berrien County Youth Fair. They are expecting more than 100,000 people to head down to Berrien Springs to the youth fairgrounds for this event. It's a lot of fun. We had Van Buren County had its fair earlier on this summer, and then Cass County's fair just wrapped up, and now it's Berrien County's turn. This will be the last youth fair in Southwest Michigan for the summer. So this is your chance to go out there and have some fun. I know I'll be out there at some point throughout this week. I'll probably be out there twice. They're going to want me to take a camera and shoot a bunch of video of rides and stuff. So I'll be doing that. So you have me to blame for that. And also we'll check in with Karen again. We just chatted about today and tomorrow there. But that was Karen Klug, the Berrien County Youth Fair Director, I chatted with a minute ago, getting a little update on the first couple of days of the fair. And then I'll talk to her again tomorrow, find out about the next couple of days. We'll check in every few days, learn about all the latest events at the Berrien County Youth Fair. And I mentioned this earlier today on the show, but I'll mention it again, as long as we're talking the youth fair. There is a traffic change on M139 in the Berrien Springs area because of the youth fair. Berrien Springs Orinoco Township Police Department sent us a note last week saying they're reducing the speed limit on M139 within the vicinity from 45 to 35 miles an hour. That's between Lemon Creek Road and George Street over there. And the change took effect today. It's in effect through Saturday, which is how long the Berrien County Youth Fair is going on. So you should be advised of that. Police have posted signs and other control devices, as they call them, to let people know that they have reduced the speed limit to 35 miles an hour on M139 near Berrien Springs as a result of the youth fair. So if you go down there, make sure that you drive carefully. News Talk 94.9 WSJM. We're wrapping up another edition of Our Take here. I've been the host today. My name is Andrew Green. Glad to be with you, as I always am. And once again, if you would like to weigh in on something we discuss, if you want to give us your take, send us an email, why don't you? The address is ourtake@wsjam.com. That's ourtake@wsjam.com. If you'd like to suggest a topic, send us an email. We're curious. We're interested. We're open to suggestions. Earlier today on the show, first thing we talked about was infrastructure in the city of St. Joe. We heard from the city engineer here in the city of St. Joseph about some of their sort of what they've been doing to plan ahead for about 20 years into the future so they can meet requirements of state grants in regards to water and sewer. And also they're taking a look at roads and streets at the same time. So August 22nd, there will be a meeting at City Hall where city leaders will try and fill in the public a little bit about this. Also today, we talked about a water testing program being offered this week in Van Buren County. If you have well water and you live in Van Buren County, the Conservation District in Paw Paw will test your water this week for free. So be advised of that. You can take a sample over there and actually get the results while you wait. Just right there. That's being offered this week by the Van Buren Conservation District. And just now we got a little bit of an update on the Berrien County Youth Fair. Things going on today and tomorrow at the Youth Fairgrounds down in Berrien Springs with the fair director, Karen Klug. Coming up on tomorrow's show, we'll hear about the Berrien County Board of Commissioners and the Road Commission. We've talked about this a few times. They held a meeting last week to learn more about their options for the Road Commission. I have chatted with the Board of Commissioners chair about this. We'll hear from him tomorrow. We'll also hear about a recycling event being offered this week in Berrien County. They are offering a free chance to have hazardous materials, chemicals, and household electronics, all that stuff recycled for free this week. We'll learn about those details tomorrow. And finally tomorrow, we will hear about a photography contest going on in South Haven. If you are a photographer, you may be interested in this. They're looking for photos of the lighthouse. We'll hear about that on tomorrow's edition of Our Take. News Talk 94.9 WSJM. That wraps up another edition of Our Take. I've been your host today. My name is Andrew Green. I thank you for tuning in. We'll be back tomorrow, same time, same station. Until then, I hope you have a great rest of your Monday.